Summarize again the intention behind blockchain. So the intention was that we do not have any central instance. So there is a decentralization which somehow provides trust and security. And to provide this, we have concepts like the concatenation of blocks, we have hashes, we have linking between blocks, we have digital signatures, and we have the integrity, so immutable state. Again, what does it mean? So we have a peer-to-peer system, which means there is no central instance. The network is distributed, decentralized, in a way. Which also means that if, for instance, some attacker would like to tamper with a block, with a blockchain, it is not as easy as there is a one central instance. And then there is a linking between data blocks. So a block is a digital block with a lot of elements, which you might remember from last week, like transaction. Then we have a header where we have the hash values, or the hashes from also the previous transactions. And then we have the network participant. They have their own private keys. So it's a kind of digital signature that they have. And also, this concept, that for instance, an applicant, he has to submit his private key. It is also one approach to make blockchain secure. And also we have the property of immutable, which means that when something is added to the blockchain, it cannot be deleted anymore. And this is something which you should keep in mind for our approach of extraction of events. Okay, let's go a little bit deeper into the structure of our blockchain. Why? Again, because we need it for our approach. Okay, here you can see, let's say, a valid blockchain. Which means, the first block is always the genesis block. And a block has a header. And a header, as you can see, it has a hash of the transactions. In the case of the genesis block, obviously there are no transactions. And then you can also insert meta information. You can also have the Merkle tree inside of it. You have a transaction. You have a timestamp in it. And further metadata, as we will see on the next slides. So then you have block B1, for instance, and it includes in the header the hash of the prior blocks hashes and also the hashes of the transactions here, and so on and so on. So let's go into the transaction structure. So one transaction consists of further elements, and it consists of, for instance, again the header, which increases by one as soon as an additional block is inserted. Then it has a digital signature, and it contains a cryptographical signature created by the client application. And here exactly, this is the element where the applicant submits his private key, and which also should prevent any tampering with the blocks. Then we have proposal. Encodes the input parameters supplied by an application to the smart contract, and which creates the proposed update. So for instance, depending on the application domain, it can be something like banking, finance, where people claim for approvals or claim for any requests. And then here some parameters referring to, requests, claims, they are saved here. Then we have the response field, and this is one or the most important field for our approach. Why? Okay, the response field, it captures the before and after values. So imagine we will see the manufacturer or car manufacturer example, like cars are manufactured. Now you would like to transcribe the states of the vehicle, of the car. So, for instance, it was blue, then it was red, then, for instance, and so on, the values changed. And here, let's say, the history of the values is stored here. So the last value is here, stored in this response field. And this is also the output of the smart contract. Last week, we heard about something about smart contracts. I will repeat this construct again. And then we have the endorsement field. This is a list of signed transaction responses from each required organization. Okay? So usually, peer-to-peer network is composed of a lot of nodes, and one node represents an organization. Now here you can see that the block structure, the values that are included in the blockchain, yeah, there are a lot of values. Okay, and without knowing what is our approach, again, the title of my talk is Extracting Events from Blockchain. Okay, this is a block, the blockchain, so we want to extract some events. Now you see you have a lot of data inside, so we first must understand what is an event, and then make clear, okay, what should we extract from here? Again, smart contracts. And an important issue is that we decided to use our apply our approach only for Hyperledger Fabric, only for IBM. Or now it's hosted under Linux Foundation, but it originated from IBM and not on Ethereum. That was like a strategic decision. So initially, we indeed took Ethereum and applied our approach, and then we found out that a lot of, let's say, meaningless events were obtained from Ethereum. And then we decided, okay, let's switch to IBM Hyperledger Fabric. And why? Yeah, because it is used by a lot of business and application domains. So it's more used for, let's say, in a business context. And therefore, we decided to use Hyperledger Fabric. And also, we think that the business context is much more appropriate for our approach. Therefore, and we considered only smart contracts from Hyperledger Fabric. And this is the structure of a smart contract in Hyperledger Fabric. Maybe you recall that last week I told you that the intention behind implementing Ethereum was indeed to have something like a smart contract for digital organizations. So the founder of Ethereum, he wanted to have some, let's say, business logic, including rules and concept definition between organizations. And yeah, that was the foundation of Ethereum. But again, we decided to use Hyperledger Fabric. And why do we need to understand this? Okay, we want to extract events. And if you want to extract something, yeah, you have to understand the structure. Something like the schema. Yeah? You can map this to a schema of, for instance, a document. So again, what are smart contracts? So before businesses can transact with each other, they must define a common set of contracts covering common terms, data rules, concept definitions, and processes. Sounds easy, but it is very difficult. So imagine you have 10 organizations and they have to agree. Right? They have to agree on terms and concepts. And it's usually very difficult also to do it between two parties. And when we worked on this topic, I asked a lot of people, can you send me your smart contract? And they told me, no, I can't. I either do not have any, or the smart contract was not complex enough, or there is another reason. So organizations, they do not want to share their smart contracts. Why not? Because it's business logic inside. So how the business is run. Yeah? And how it is run, it is defined in executable logic in programming, in program code. So you need some input, so it can be a contract ID, and then you have some transaction request and the current state. So this is something like an input of the smart contract, which you define. We will see how a smart contract looks like in some following slides. And then we have the smart contract business logic. So you must imagine you have defined a smart contract in a programming language. So we will see Hyperledger Fabric. It supports JavaScript and Node and Go from the box. So we can either use one of these languages, or Ethereum supports only Solidity. So it resembles JavaScript, but it has some particular concepts inside, elements inside. And when you have defined your smart contracts, then in milliseconds it is executed and deployed and then included in the blockchain. Which means, okay, why should I trust something that is programmed in code, yeah, and which is executed in milliseconds and decides if I will receive a loan? Do you trust? Can you trust piece of code? Okay, so what are the arguments in favor of it? Okay, the one issue is it is run on a blockchain. And then we discussed what are the constructs that support security and trust in blockchain. So we have seen the consensus algorithm. And then there is the concept of hashing and linking. Okay, it supports all trust and provide some sort of security. And also smart contracts, they are validated in a distributed way, which means that not only one party validates it, yeah, but in a distributed fashion. That is one argument. But also, still, we will see that if some mistakes, errors are inside of the smart contracts, and there are some mistakes which you might not foresee before you have written the smart contract, so when you have written it, they should be prevented from from being executed on the blockchain. And that was the main motivation behind our work. So we have the contract interpreter, and indeed, if the rules they have been validated true, it is executed really in milliseconds. And you can also store within one smart contract several contracts. Like one smart contract can be that you would like to buy that a car should be delivered within a specific time frame. Huh? This is your assumption that you make. Like, I only accept this, or I only want to buy this car if it is delivered within a certain time frame. If not, then, okay, I will reject this. And therefore, the output can be either an accept, okay, it is accepted, okay, the car is indeed delivered within the time frame, or it is rejected. And within this output, you also, or always, not you, but the system, it stores some attestation of correctness, okay, which has been validated in a distributed way. And then you have so-called a state delta, because, as I mentioned, you can have several smart contracts within a smart contract, like a smart contract for car, smart contract for boat, smart contract for, I don't know, another vehicle. And state delta means that then that you can have expressions that are true or false. And here the different values are stored. So this is also an important element for our approach. So the first one, let's go back here, was the response field, yeah, where we capture the before and the after values of it. And the second is here the state delta. So something has changed, for instance, from blue to red, from, I don't know, initiated to produced. And when using Hyperledger Fabric as the blockchain umbrella, then the structure is almost the same. Like, it has the properties assets, participants, and transactions. And then, depending on your use case, you have to define what are my assets, what are my participants, what are my transactions. And one smart contract, which is indeed a little bit complex and open for the community, is this smart contract. And this network, the vehicle manufacturer network, it tracks the manufacture of vehicles from an initial order request through to the completion by the manufacturer. Okay. What did we learn? So we are interested in some changes of values. We are interested in values that, changes of values. And also here you have some kind of flow. Yeah. So you have a process. And we are also interested in processes, like process mining, processes. Oh, so this qualifies this example for our use case. And how do we usually draw business processes in a graph? So we have some initial order request, and then we have some completion, and maybe then we have some delivery. This is a process of manufacture. Obviously that we are interested in the data of cars and their change of the values. And then we said, okay, if we need some assets, so what kind of assets do we have here? We have, for instance, an order that is placed. So then we have some vehicles. Then we have participants. And who can be the participants? It can be a person. It can be a manufacturer. And now then we are observing the interactions between the person and the manufacturer. And then we have some transactions, and they are essential as well for our approach. These are queries. So when you're interested in some values of your smart contract, you're always posing queries. Yeah, you're querying the blockchain, or you're querying the smart contract, or the querying the executed smart contract. And there are some transactions that you can reuse, like place order transactions, and it creates a new order with details about the customer. Okay, so you're interested in new orders, and you're also interested in the details about the customer, then you use the place order query. If you're interested in this change of the order status, then you use the update order status query. And so smart contracts, they are one approach how an applicant communicate with the blockchain. Yeah? They are one of their approach. They support the interaction with the my blockchain network. Like here, usually the smart contract, again, it's a piece of code that has been written in a specific programming language depending on the blockchain that you're using. And it is executed as soon as all rules are fulfilled. And then execution means it is deployed, and the updates, they are stored or transcribed into the ledger or the blockchain. And mapping this process on our specific use case of vehicle manufacturer network means, okay, there is a person and he wants to request something. Like, for instance, what is the status of my current application, or what is the status of my order? So is my car already produced? So he placed an order. And then he received, we can receive some value, like here. As I mentioned, smart contracts, they describe the business logic of the enterprise. And therefore, the enterprises keep it secret. So here you can see the process. And now what your task will be, I will show you this website and just read the text. And then your task is to explain me this kind of process. So have a look on here on this website. Here you can see here the example is explained. So your task now is to read. Is there a way? Okay, it's here again. Okay, so your task is to read this text, piece of text, And if you can't read it appropriately, then you have to move. And then the task is to explain me the process. Okay. Do you all understand this text? Okay. So let's go back to my slide. And here we have the process. Okay? So why do I force you to read this? Yeah, because we need a common understanding of this process for further understanding. Yeah, just
question.
Yes.
Is it one single blockchain for all vehicles, or is like one blockchain per vehicle? Is the blockchain created when we order new order creators?
Okay. Just maybe think by yourself. Does it make sense to run one blockchain for one vehicle?
I wouldn't say, but I wasn't too sure.
What does the other one think?
One use case could be that we have a separate blockchain for every specific flag.
Yeah, one manufacturer, he has a blockchain, one blockchain. So it definitely doesn't make sense to run one blockchain per car. So, okay, we haven't, or I somehow mentioned the issue of complexity of blockchain. Yeah, but then it's, let's say, an overkilling issue to run per car, one blockchain, yeah? So manufacturer like, Daimler, they produce, I don't know how many cars per month or per year, so they can't run for every car one blockchain, yeah? But rather maybe for specific processes. Mm-hmm. And specific processes that are maybe worthwhile to run, where you have to secure some issues. Okay, question is clarified, and then continue with the explanation. Who can explain it? What does this mean? Yeah, so you have here some kind of process. As I mentioned, we depict processes in terms of a graph. You, maybe? Yeah?
So it starts with the customer placing an order.
Yes.
It creates this order asset.
Yes.
This leads to the manufacturer starting the building process, and all these blocks, the following blocks, are changed by this activity update process, I guess.
Yeah.
Those are, the manufacturer is able to assign a certain state.
Yes.
So the first is scheduled, then it's when it's completed, the next stage been assigned.
Yeah.
Is introduced. Afterwards, the owner is assigned, and then the car gets delivered, and the process finishes.
Yes. Yeah. So now you can also query the blockchain and then see, okay, what's the current status of it. Yeah. And the issue is that without any prior, assignment, the values can be maybe changed. The question is, okay, when somebody put on the status, order status schedule, is it true or is it really not true? So we also need some kind of mechanism that controls it, that the order is definitely in this state. Okay, thanks. That was a great summary. Okay, and now let me briefly introduce our approach. So what we assume here also, we mapped this kind of process onto the process of how blockchain is run and how smart contracts are deployed within the network. So we have here include a contract in the blockchain. What you can see here is a smart contract, and there are initially not very specific attributes. So it's again our schema. We have participant, asset, and transactions. Yeah? This is something how the structure of a Hyperledger smart contract looks like. I think in Ethereum it's quite similar. And then you have to define by yourself what are the concrete values, like it's person, regulator, and manufacturer. This is something, okay, it is included. And now you're interested in the status of it. Like, for instance, okay, what is the status of my order? Huh? Is it scheduled, or is it something like what we have here before, delivered? Okay, so you just can continually query. And then we assume here we queried the blockchain and we received this kind of data. So we can see, okay, for our vehicle with this kind of number, then this kind of model type and the color and so on, the status is active and so on and so on. So this is the result of it and nothing else. Yeah? This is something like querying a database with SQL. So we receive, let's say, a static result, which we are not interested in, as you will see, because we are interested in process mining. And the idea behind this work originated from a blockchain seminar that I attended, I think, 1.5 years ago, a Dachstuhl seminar. And it was very specific on blockchain, but then I thought, okay, how can I combine the concept, the idea of blockchain and process mining? And then quickly I came to the idea, okay, can we somehow identify errors in smart contracts based on process mining? And again, you define a smart contract, which is somehow static, and then if all the, let's say, rules are fulfilled, it is automatically executed and recalled the state of immutable. Something that is added to the blockchain cannot be deleted. And imagine it say, okay, you cannot receive a loan, because you do not have the credibility of it. So, and then we browsed the literature, and then we checked, okay, we have to make a difference between syntax errors and semantic errors. Okay, so like, for instance, when programming something, you can have some syntactical, grammatical errors. Like you missed some brackets, for instance, or some values are not appropriately defined. This is something that you can detect by a compiler, and there are already solutions out of the box for it. We are interested in a much more complex issue, and these are semantic errors, which means we are interested if some errors related to the content have been conducted. And this issue can definitely not be detected by a compiler, because a compiler doesn't check for semantics of the smart contract of document. And what's the consequence if you have some semantic errors? As I mentioned, it is if all the rules are fulfilled, and the fulfillment of rules is something else than semantic errors. Let me give you an example. Like, for instance, imagine that somebody has changed the value from red to blue without any prior assignment of owner. Like, for instance, okay, it is the rules say, okay, there must be an owner, and the color has been changed, or the status has been changed from scrapped to active, which, for instance, might not be true in reality. Yeah? And then the logic of the smart contract, it checks if the rule fulfills. Yes, okay, it's active. Then it's executed. But maybe this is not true Yeah, something is missing. Because, for instance, to have the vehicle status inactive, which we have seen here as a result, some prior activities are required, which you can definitely not detect here when considering only or analyzing only smart contract with a compiler or any other issue. And this is the motivation behind our work. So we want to identify some inconformance, some non-conformance issues. And in order to do this, we use process mining. And then you might say, okay, but you have a lot of data in the blockchain. You have smart contract, and then you have your blocks. So apply smart process mining on these data. Unfortunately not, as you will see. It's not so easy. So let me give you a brief introduction into process mining. So process mining is a field which is in research quite mature. So the first process mining algorithm has been suggested in 2004. And when I speak about process mining, and I observed it as well last week, even under my colleagues, and then they ask me always, okay, what's the difference between process mining and data mining? Yeah, it's the same. No, it is not the same. First issue is, when you want to conduct process mining, you always, always need an event log. Yeah? And here comes the difference that, for instance, for data mining, you can use tables, data tables. You can also use tables, but you have to transform them in a specific format before. And then what we consider are events, that something happened. We do not consider static data. Like, for instance, we consider light has been switched on or the status of the car has been changed. And this is an event. And therefore, we cannot apply process mining for everything. Yeah? We are interested in events. So we first must define what is an event. But as soon as you have defined what is an event, you can do a lot of crazy things with your data. You can, for instance, as we see on the next slide, you can discover some process models. Then you can check if your reality is compliant with your model and enhancement. I will explain it on the following slide. And then, so we can analyze the real world in a very extensive way. Okay, so what we take here as input is not a software system, but we took the blockchain. And then we are not interested only in the blockchain, but in the smart contracts. Yeah, because we want to find some errors in smart contracts. And smart contracts, they are executed. When they are executed, then the updates are transcribed to the blockchain. So we are querying the blockchain, but we're interested in the information, the data from smart contracts. Yes. Okay, here is a slide which might summarize a little bit better the applications of process mining. Again, what you can see here, what they have in common is, again, an event log. And I will also summarize how an event log looks like. So whenever we have an event log, imagine we only have an event log, then we can only do discovery. And for instance, imagine you have received a lot of complaints. So there's a lot in your company, a lot of complaints. And now you would like to know, okay, are these complaints justified or not? You might have some service level agreements. So you might have a model. And now you run so-called conformance checking techniques to see, okay, are these complaints justified or not? And then you end up with some diagnosis on it. And if you want to improve your processes, then you'd also take your event log. And you need a model. But what is the difference? You're not doing any diagnosis, but you rather end up with a new model which depicts the improved state of it. Okay, these are the applications of process mining. And here, the result of process discovery is a process model. And this is exactly what we want to obtain from the blockchain. A blockchain which is a concatenation of digital blocks with some particular properties, and then you have your business logic which is written in your smart contract, and we would like to end up with this kind of model. And believe me, so the companies are very, very interested in this topic. Why? Yeah, because you can identify bottlenecks, performance issues from this kind. You can simulate it. So you can easily see, okay, what is going or running wrongly in my enterprise company? And therefore, I attended this year the process mining, the first process mining conference, and there were 20 tool vendors. So it's really a hot topic currently, process mining. Having such kind of representation which goes far away above of data, what data mining can. So we can do much more, we have much more insights into the data when applying process mining. Okay, but if you would like to use process mining, you need a specific input format. So you can use CSV as input. And there is also a standard how to define an event log. Again, an event log consists of events. Something that happened, something that has, was active or is active. So there are at least three attributes that describe and or that are mandatory for an event log. This is a so-called case ID and an activity and timestamp. If you don't have these attributes, no process mining. So we have here an event. It represents some activity, like for instance in our example that the car is now scheduled, or the order is scheduled, or the order is delivered, or the product is a request has been placed. This is an activity. And then, for instance, we are interested of specific flow of customers. This is what we can subsume under a case. So, for instance, the car of Mr. XY is produced, and now you would like to observe, okay, Mr. XY, we can subsume him under premium customers. So can we observe some patterns for premium customers? Like, for instance, some activities are omitted or performed too slowly or too fastly, or I don't know. And therefore, we have such a construct of case, case and activity and timestamp are mandatory to perform process mining. And whenever you have this representation, you put it into representation, you can do process mining. If it results in, let's say, meaningful results, depends how what you have considered as events, what kind of data you have used, and how you have run your process mining algorithms. This is another representation of a log. And why do I show you this? Okay, again, to understand that we cannot apply process mining directly on a smart contract. What we have to do is we have somehow to distill events from the blockchain. And what is an event? For instance, something that changes status or something that happened. Yeah? So we cannot query just a smart contract and say, okay, what's the status of the order? And then the result is, okay, it is, let's say, assigned. Yeah, what does it mean? Okay, we are interested in the flow of the order. So is it appropriately assigned? Is it really assigned? Are there some activities omitted? And therefore, we are considering several events, and they are subsumed by a trace, and the trace is subsumed by a log, an event log. And now we can also see, okay, when you, and somebody asks you, okay, process mining is about logs, event logs, okay. What's particular about this? Okay, this is not a very simple, it's not a simple log, like each system generates, but rather you can see it is a particular structure, structured in a specific way. Okay, here it's a simplified event log, and you will see the event log that we generate or that we extract from the blockchain unfortunately doesn't look like as simple as it is, so it required us a lot of processing steps. But indeed, the most time-consuming issue was to run Hyperledger Fabric, yeah, and also to connect to the blockchain. It was much more time-consuming, so a couple of weeks, compared to our concrete approach. So this is a simplified event log. So we have, for instance, patient that can be the manufacturer as well. Then you have an activity, you have time, and you can also have some further attributes. Okay, this is something that we would like to extract from our blockchain, an event log. Something that has, let's say, a case, activities, and a timestamp. So timestamp is something that can easily be extracted. Because why? An element of a block is a timestamp. So you always have a timestamp. Okay, fine, that's easy. But how can we omit and distill activities from the blockchain, so events? Let me introduce this. So here you can see a smart contract for our example. It's a contract of the car. And you can see the structure is always so you have some queries, and then you have some attributes, some issues that are here defined, some updates, some properties that must be fulfilled. So now you can see, okay, definitely we cannot extract from this kind of representation, we cannot apply process mining here. Huh? Why? Okay, we need an event, we need a timestamp, we need a case. So what can be an event here? No. Okay, so we must somehow observe the dynamic changes of values of it. Dynamic changes, okay, so we're considering previous and subsequent values. And remember, that was the response element in the transaction block. So we're interested in this, and also there was the output of the smart contract that was the state delta. That also say, okay, if something is fulfilled, accepted, or rejected or not. So these are two essential constructs of our approach. Yes, so I think we were the first that suggested or that considered process mining for blockchain and smart contracts. And in the recent or the past weeks, several other approaches followed. And the approaches that follow after us, they use Ethereum. But this is also maybe some diplomatic issue. Okay, if you want to support some commercial enterprises, which we do with Hyperledger Fabric, or do we want to support some open source issues, which then we should select Ethereum. Okay, the blockchain implementation. Our approach can be used for Hyperledger Fabric, Hyperledger Composer, and as well IBM Platform. So what's the difference? So Hyperledger is the umbrella of it. Again, so Hyperledger originated from IBM, and then they decided, okay, we make it open source, which was a very good and strategic decision. And then it is run now under Linux Foundation, and it is, as far as I know, the most successful project under Linux Foundation. So this is a Hyperledger Fabric, and then we have Composer. So imagine you have several applications, business application run in your enterprise, and you want to connect them with your blockchain. Huh? Not to say, okay, you have one standalone system like a blockchain, but rather know how can I combine my blockchain with my application. And this is what you... what Composer was implemented for. Then the general structure of a smart contract, you have always assets, You have participants and you have transactions. It's good to have. So we will use these kind of structure to define our smart contracts in the exercise. So next week we have an exercise and we will define our smart contracts. And it is good to have a like schema here, assets, participants, and transactions. And depending on your use case, they differ. And as I already mentioned, Hyperledger Fabric is mainly intended for business purposes. So we have some business smart contracts. But again, except of the manufacturer example, non-smart contracts are freely available because a smart contract defines the business logic of an enterprise. And if I have a smart contract of an enterprise, then I know a lot of, I have a lot of information of it, of the company. Then the smart contracts, they are defined in Node. And we pre-processed them, we transformed it, and we export it. So we mainly use Node as the programming language for event log extraction. So the steps, here are the steps of our approach. They sound, let's say, maybe very simple, but it took us several iterations to find the real structure. Why? Okay, as you will see, you can easily you can easily exchange or distill an event from the blockchain, but the question is it meaningful for your process mining analysis? Yeah? So what's the intention behind process mining? We want to discover a process, but if you have your process on different granularities, it doesn't make sense. If you want to identify some conformance issues, and again, your process does not make sense, has, let's say, a confusing structure, it is not meaningful. So the first step, the first step is to connect to the ledger and to request some blocks, and you will see that the result of this request is a lot of data. So we have to structure it. And then we use regular expressions to extract meaningful events, and then we have to export, as to transform the output into XES format, and then we can import it in any process mining tool. Then Hyperledger Fabric, as we have seen last week in the video, it's a private blockchain, which means that you must request permission in order to be part of the blockchain. So it's a permissioned network, and then you have some access control in the blockchain, therefore. And as I mentioned, so the smart contracts, you can use Go. As you may know, the programming language that has been invented by Google, therefore it's called Go. Then you have Node, or you have JavaScript, how you can write your smart contract. And then for consensus, there are different kind of technologies that are used. So one is, for instance, Apache Kafka, which we might know from distributed processing. Sorry? Yes. Yeah, but Hadoop is more historical data. Kafka is really used for real-time processing. Yeah?
And this part of Hadoop
is Yes, as a pre-processing step, yeah. You can use, yeah. So Kafka, what it is, it's just a messaging, like a broker, yeah? It supports the messaging approach based on publish-subscribe, yeah? So publish-subscribe approach. Then you have Raft BFT, so what does it support? It supports the Byzantine fault tolerance, which means, okay, you can safely exchange data between nodes. So these are some technical issues which you must not recall, but you see this is the way how Hyperledger Fabric secures the blockchain concept. Yeah, here's an interface of the composer. And you can see, again, a lot of data inside of it, and recall the structure of an event log. The intention is to extract from this kind of data an event log in order to identify semantic errors in it. Right? Something is wrong, has happened inappropriately, or there's some disconformance in it. So our three steps can be mapped to this kind of architecture. So first we must connect to it. And again, it took us a couple of weeks indeed to run Hyperledger Fabric and also to connect to it. Then we extract first some blocks and they are in row format. And then we apply our approach of event extraction. And here it also took us several iterations to identify the best approach. And then we have an event log. And then we can import this event log to any process mining tool, as I will show you in a video. So our approach supports three connect to three blockchain, let's say, flavors. And for this, we have defined the query chain. And with a query chain, we can connect to Hyperledger Fabric, Composer, and to IBM Cloud Platform. So we just query the client, requests for to register on the blockchain, and it turns ledger blocks as JSON objects. So we have here all these query results, and here you can see the result. Okay, and again, recall, we want to apply process mining. A lot of data that is returned, okay, out of it. So you can see here blocks, and you have a header, and then you have number, and you have your previous hash, and then the hashes of the transactions. And again, recall that was the signature. And then here, also you have private keys, and you again have a lot of data. And we are interested in the response field of it, and somehow in the state delta, how the events have been changed. Okay, so this is our result. So we just connected already, and then the query returns this kind of representation. So this step two is event extraction. And for this, we particular consider the response field of transactions. And we refer to it as so-called block writes. So we are interested in the fields of writing, of changing a value. And it contains a list of unique key value pairs, like car1, pickup, blue, and company. Okay, so imagine we would define an event. Okay, an event is, for instance, pickup. Yeah, this is event one. And you can also have the timestamp. And company A would be one attribute in your event log. And color could also be an attribute in your event log. Yeah, so type could be an activity. And the case is car1, for instance. Okay, then you might say, oh, it is an event. So we can consider this as an event in an event log. Okay, why it is not sufficient? Okay, we will see that in a lot of cases, maybe in this case, it makes sense that we can consider as an event, but there are a lot of meaningless events that are generated in the blockchain, and we also are interested, like here, color has been changed from blue to red, because imagine there was no permission to change the color. Or, for instance, the owner, he doesn't allow to change the color, something like that. So we are interested, again, in the changes of values. And in order to have this, so this is the, let's say, transactional structure of a blockchain. But we are interested in not a transactional structure, but, let's say, in an event-based structure. So we need to make some transformations on it. So we have here a flattened object, but we have different, let's say, maturities of events. And we are also interested in the life cycle of events. Huh? And therefore, we defined so-called event abstractions, ranging from 1 to 3, and they define, let's say, the maturity of event of an event. Event structure, as I told you, three mandatory attributes for process mining: timestamp, activity, and case ID. Okay, great, we have it. So we have the case ID, car one. We have the timestamp. And then what we have done is we define different type of levels. Why? Okay, we can make some much more, give some much more insights when we, let's say, track different type of events with process mining. So we can say, okay, asset has been updated and the color has been changed, and what was the previous value? It was blue and it has been changed to red. And then you can change, okay, at what time has been changed and what was the previous value. This is what is not stored in the response field of the transaction, only the last value. So the transaction field would store only red and not blue together. And when observing the response fields and in a different, in a specific time frame, we can see, okay, when has it been changed from what value to which value, what was the original one, what was the subsequent one. So we take the result from the first query, and then we have a second query, which is get process log, and then we end up again with a JSON object. And then remember, okay, can JSON be processed by process mining? No. So what was the processing format, input format? It was CSS, yeah, or CVS. Therefore, we will need a further step. Okay, so in the first round, we indeed took only simple events. So we took the result here, and then we transformed it in a way that we have a case ID, timestamp, and activity each event, and then we applied process mining. And let me just briefly go to this slide. We ended with this kind of representation. Can you understand it? Can you read it? No. Okay? Is it meaningful? No. Okay? And this is indeed a realistic example when you're applying process mining with, let's say, meaningless events. So this kind of representation doesn't help anybody. Okay, so in order to have a structure, to bring it into a structure, we decided, okay, instead of considering only simple events, let's maybe aggregate simple events to complex events and then consider only complex events. And then, indeed, you will see, you will end up with very nice graphs, nice representations. Okay, these are some simple events which are tracked on runtime. When your blockchain is running, and then, as I mentioned, so we have a lot of events, and not every event is of interest, and you have also some critical events, and then you end up with so-called spaghetti processes. And what you want to obtain are so-called lasagna processes. Okay, and this is here the explanation of the different kind of event extraction types. So we have the event level. It describes the abstraction of the object. So why, again, do we do this? We can as well filter different kind of levels. So if you're, for instance, only interested in, let's say, it describes an object that has been created or updated, so you're interested only in updates, then you can only use event level 1. If you say, I'm interested in much more complex insights, then you can... You're interested in the attributes of object that has been changed, then you consider event level 2. And if you're interested in the concrete change of the object, so it has been changed from blue to red on, I don't know, October 22nd, then you're interested in event level 3. And in order to support this, we define the event type attribute, which distinguish between simple versus complex events. And to distill some complex events from simple events, and simple events are an aggregation of complex events are an aggregation of simple events, we use regular expression. This is something that we define by our own in for our approach, within our approach, and here's the syntax of our regular expression. And the syntax is that you first define the regular expression of your old state, and then here you define the regular expression of your new state. And then you can use, for instance, a logical AND, a logical or you can also structure your event definition with some brackets. So here you can see a concrete application of our regular expressions on an event, on our event log. So the result was some JSON object, and then, for instance, we have the manufacturer example, and we have the participants, that was person and the manufacturer. So one person can be Andy, and the other one was maybe Dave. And what kind of car do they have? So are they the owner? So we queried, okay, who is the owner of a car? So there was maybe was no previous owner, or maybe we asked all owners before Andy. And then we are interested, okay, of owners prior to Dave, and that are owners of a car, a red car. And then we are interested, okay, of color changes. So from any color to some other color. So any color changes that have been performed. That would be level 3. And then you can see you can structure your simple events in a way that you end up with an aggregation, and then they are meaningful for process mining. Again, we need to do this, otherwise we end up with spaghetti processes, which are not meaningful for your process mining analysis. Here you can see, now we are now approaching close to the structure of an event log that can be processed by process mining. So we have a key, we have a timestamp, and we have different time of levels, and then you have some additional attributes, and it doesn't look still as access format. Therefore, we need a last step, to transform this kind of representation, but we are close to our designed representation, desired representation. So this is an event. And for this, we use the get process log, again, the second step, where we transform simple events into complex events. But this is something which has been conducted manually. So we have to define or write your regular expressions by yourself. So there is no computer or no chatbot or something like that that writes it for you. And what you can see as a result is a better event log. Okay? Better in the sense that it does not generate spaghetti processes. So we took this, and then we end up with that. And the last step is then, okay, we have a better representation, this kind of log, and then we transform it in a way that it can be processed by a process mining algorithm. So I told you that process mining tools require access as a format, but there are a lot of or several plugins that transform your CSV file into access file. So when we have this, and we have, let's say, meaningful events, some aggregation of simple events, now we can apply it with process mining tools. Now you can see this is the result of this event log, of this last query, and how does it look like? Great. So we have a lot of information. Again, case, timestamp, activity are three mandatory attributes. We have, this is a case. We have a timestamp, and we have some activities. And another benefit of this query is also that you can structure your event log in different ways. Like some process mining tools, they definitely require a case ID. Without a case ID, the event log cannot be processed. So with this query, you can also structure the result. So usually the event log is structured according to the timestamp chronological order, but here you can say, okay, I prefer structure the event log based on the case ID, because then it can be faster imported, processed by a process mining tool. And this is an excerpt of the final event log, indeed, for the concrete smart contract example, for the manufacturer example. And now let me show you how this event log finally looks like in the process mining tool. So maybe we can, maybe you can't see it. Doesn't work. Do I have to do something here? No. Nothing is working here. Seems it doesn't work. Something that I have to switch on here? No. So who is aware of this room here? Nobody. Doesn't work. Okay. If you can't see it, you must move in front. Okay, so we can import then this file into PROM, and PROM is the academic, mostly used academic tool for process mining. Then Celonis, that's, let's say, very nice history behind it. So there were two founders of Celonis, and I think how much years ago, maybe 5 years ago, and now they have 800 employees. 800. Yeah. So now you can see how successful or how good process mining sells. Then we have Disco. So I know both founders of this tool. They are from a University of Eindhoven. And then this is a specific tool. So my master's student, he worked for this company, and therefore we also supported we transformed the CSV file in a specific format that can be processed by this process mining tool. And these guys also, they won the competition on conformance checking. So they have a nice process mining tool as well. So here now you can see from this kind of log, yeah, we structured it, we end up with this kind of representation, well, this kind of a process model, which we definitely cannot do when we apply process mining directly on the blockchain. You have seen a lot of pre-processing steps are necessary to end up with this kind. And now, when you understand the benefits of process mining, yeah, it's really awesome. Why? Because now we can say something about the behavior. Like we can follow some passes that have been executed. Can you do this with data mining? No. Huh? Can you, for instance, make some simulations? If you are aware of the concept of pre-trainets, you can simulate it, and you can see, for instance, how much of passes were executed. Maybe this one, the most frequent one, and it was not intended. Can you do this with data mining? No. Okay, this is the representation that is generated with PROM, with a very specific algorithm, which is the Alpha Miner. This was the very first algorithm that was suggested for process mining in 2004. And it has a lot of disadvantages, like, for instance, it can't consider loops in the process. Then a tool called Disco. You see the representation is different, and also the intention behind Disco is different than behind PROM. So they would like to, they apply, I think, the heuristic miner on the event log, and then they end up with this kind of representation. It is again a graph, so we can see, okay, this was maybe the most frequently used pass in this execution, and these are not so much frequent, and also you can filter the activities, you can filter the views. And then, again, the conformance checking issue. This is very interesting. You cannot do any conformance checking with data mining. So, again, we want to identify some deviations in my smart contracts which were not justified. We can do this with conformance checking. So, again, we analyze the events, and then we, against some reality, and say, okay, there is an event missing in the trace. There should be an event, but it is missing. Why? You observed the log of the execution, the real execution of the blockchain. Yeah? And then you can conclude something was missing. So that's behind the intention behind process mining, observing real executions and identifying some new insights that you were not aware of. Okay, let me show you the demo, how it works. Here, what you, let's see if we can see it. Oh, I can see it here on my, no, let me, can see it here, but you can't see it here. Let me check this. Okay, close. Okay, here. Why can't I see it and you not? Crazy. Okay, if not, I go. Let me close this. I directly go to the pass. So here, what you can see here, how we connect to the blockchain. Yeah, this is the first step, the get process log, and then we receive all these kind of blocks, row blocks from the blockchain, and then the second step is, okay, we want to extract some meaningful events. Well, unfortunately, due to the sun, we cannot see. And we end up with an event log. And what we then can do is you can, for instance, use process mining tool. Here we need the access format. You can use the alpha miner as a tool. You can apply it. And then you end up with this kind of process model, but then you can structure it in a better way. And this is something that we extracted from our blockchain. This kind of process model, which we now can simulate. And the visualization in Disco looks like this. You can see you can do much more in Disco, but because it's a commercial tool. Yeah, you can, for instance, analyze the performance. Like, for instance, can you analyze the performance from blockchain? Performance, like, for instance, how fast has the car been created or delivered? No. Yeah, these are insights that you receive from process mining analysis. And now you can see how that it is worthwhile to do this, to extract events and to apply process mining on a blockchain, because you have much more insights than when analyzing only static data. Okay, so let me close this and go back here to my presentation. Okay, that was the demo. And then the conclusion. And then finally we will recap this session with, again, the quiz. The conclusion is that intention was to extract event logs from Hyperledger Fabric or Composer with the intention to identify semantic errors in smart contracts. And you can see, so this is a paper that we published, that was February, I think February, and we have a lot of reads on it, recommendations on this paper. And because it is worthwhile to do this approach, because process mining can give you much more insights than analyzing only static data. One disadvantage may be that our technique only works on executed smart contracts, which means indeed that your smart contract have been executed, and then we can define some disconformance issues. Indeed, it would be beneficial to have this kind of analysis before the smart contract is executed. But again, we need the history of changes of values, and we can only obtain it when observing the executions. Huh? But if you have this kind of insight that some some issues were not conform to maybe your service level agreements, you can change the smart contract if you know this. So there is a lot of work for future. The one issue is, because the reviews requested it, to implement it for Ethereum, to extract event logs from Ethereum. Again, we tried it. We ended up with no meaningful events. But since Ethereum evolved, which means that new use cases are added to the blockchain, maybe it is we should continue as well with Ethereum. Then apply our approach in real-world data. But this is difficult since almost no smart contracts are open for the community. We consider written data, but an event gets when it gets emitted, like something that it is. Indeed, it happened, so when it was executed on the blockchain and not before. So special thanks goes to my master student, Frank. So he implemented all this stuff, and it is open for the community, and you can download the source code. Now let's go to the last step, to the quiz.